Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة.
September 14, 2001. The Awakening Jummah, Harvey, Illinois. Imam W. Dean Muhammad. Dear believers, Assalamu alaikum. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. We witness that there is none to be worshipped except Allah. He is the only God. And we witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. The prayers and the peace be upon him, and what follows of that salutation or salute to the seal of the prophets, the last of the prophets mentioned in the Quran, as the prophet mentioned in both the Old and New Testaments, properly called in Al-Islam, the Torah and Angel. We see this time that we are living in now as the time of religion, or the day of religion, when matters for mankind regarding how he should live on this earth is coming to a conclusion. The earth is no more an unknown place to be discovered by man. The whole earth is now known by man. That didn't exist for us in the time of Muhammad the Prophet. Peace and blessings be on him. This part of the world had not been discovered. But this part of the world is now discovered, and the whole world has come together. It's like a puzzle and part of it was missing. The whole continent of North America was missing from it, and the whole continent of South America was missing from it. Then man traveled and moved as God had already predicted through his prophets, or shown his prophets, that it would come. The day would come when the whole earth would become one again, as it was in the beginning. Time of religions coming together. We are living in the time of the conclusion of things, the day of religion. Never before on this earth did we have the great religions coming together, their leaders coming together in friendship, and working together, discussing the problems of mankind all over the world, and working together for a better earth community, for us all, a better home, for us all on this earth, for us all. Man was one community and will become one again. Holy Quran 2.13. Mankind was one community. Mankind were one community, and Allah sent unto them prophets, as bearers of good tidings, and as warners, and revealed therewith the scripture, with the truth, that it might judge between mankind concerning that wherein they differed. Never has that happened in the history of mankind. In the time of Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, as we know God guided him with the Quran, and he also was a man created for the job. He had the logic suitable for the universal connection of mankind. And God guided him to tell the people that the earth were once one community of people on earth. The people of earth was once one community. And by suggestion or by allusion in the language and of the Quran, we come to the conclusion that it is saying also that mankind has to one day again become one community. As he created you in the first instance, so shall you return. Quran Miss Katmazabal Pell 40 number 238, Quran explicit, implied meaning. Ibn Mas'ud reported the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, said, the Quran was sent down in 7 dialects. Every one of its verses has an explicit and implicit meaning, and every interdiction is clearly defined. Quran has to reading explicit and implied. Holy Quran 56.79, none touch it but purified ones which none shall touch, Quran, but those who are clean. And this application is not only to the return from the dead, from the grave, when all of us have gone from the earth, and have become dust or stones or bone again we expect the resurrection. But Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, taught us that whatever is in the Quran has a direct application, and an implied one, that means it has two readings. It has a reading that is obvious to the average language person that can read it, and it has a meaning that has to be given to you by inspiration, by God. He guides whomever he pleases, and whom he leaves without guidance cannot find guidance. This is God speaking, not me. Praise be to Allah, highly glorified in Allah. Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, taught his students, who became scholars, one of them being his wife. As you know, Aisha became a great scholar, and one of the leaders of Al-Islam, for the whole world. He taught them that his language was to be regarded in the same way, when it came to understanding it, that what he said had an express meaning, and an implied one. One that anybody, the ordinary person, should be able to read, but the other one only those blessed by God would be able to read and understand it, and that they would be taught and educated in this religion, and the pure ones would come to the right understanding. I'm setting a stage for my presentation or creation, the condition for you to receive it easily. We know that Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, also said that there would come a time when you would see Jesus and myself together. Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, said that there would come a time when you would see Jesus and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them, together. I am sure that this is the time. And the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, also said in his last address called the Last Sermon, he said, listen, for those who are here presently, listen, and pass it on to those who are absent. And those who receive it, pass it on still further to others, he said, and maybe, perchance, the last to get it will understand it better. Now he said that. So it may not be me, it might not be you, it might not be this following with me called the Muslim American Society, but we should be looking somewhere to see where is that group that he said that might understand it better than the others. The shouldn't he in the multitudes, that group shouldn't be in the many, that group should be small, because the many will not have it correctly. According to Prophet Muhammad's, peace and blessings be on him, prediction, according to his own saying, the many will not have it correctly. And we see the world of Al-Islam today, most of it is in confusion, most of it is not in unity, most of it is not giving their people a comfortable living. Only a few who are in ruling positions are in comfortable situations, and the many are denied a comfortable existence. Muslims not free to practice Islam in own lands, they can't preach their religion, they can't live their religion, as they choose. I'm speaking of the great majority of Muslim lands. In those lands, those Muslims there cannot preach and live their religion as they believe they should. If they do, they will be locked up, they will be put in jail, some of them might be killed outright, depending on how much they upset the ruling order. There is no freedom of religion in most of the Islamic countries. The religion is preached. According to the government wishes, the government decides how it should be preached. So we have to understand what's going on in the Muslim life and in the Muslim world. If you are a Muslim here in America, you should know the state of Al-Islam in the Muslim world. That's the whole world of Muslim. And you should know whether this world of Muslims is in line with the Quran and Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, or not. Because if they are not, you don't want to be in line with them. And I'm not in line with them, and I can never be in line with them. Muslims come to America for same as those on Mayflower. And most of the Muslim scholars and educators in this religion, they are not with them. They are persecuted in these Muslim lands. And many of them have left the Muslims' lands to come to America for the same reason those who were on the Mayflower came over here. Muslim women wear unidentified dress in troubled times, so that they could have a country where they could live their religion with their God and feel comfortable in their hearts that they are living their religion as God wants them to live it. And that is what we want here, and we are in America, and we want that. So it hurts us very badly to see our peace and our good relationship with the citizens of America, the Christians here, hurt by acts of terror. That is not making us feel comfortable, it makes all of us feel endangered. I feel endangered. And if my father were here, he would tell you, sisters, exactly what I am going to tell you. This is a time that is very dangerous for you, and is very critical. Allah, highly glorified is Allah, does not want us putting ourselves unnecessarily in danger. Sisters should wear loose-fitting long pants, and wear decent jackets, and you should not be able to be distinguished from anybody else out there on the street. Don't dress so you look like Muslims, this is not the time for it, dress modestly, that is all Islam asks. Doesn't ask for us to have a certain style. Just dress modestly, and don't dress like they expect you to be looking. Stones thrown at W.D. Muhammad's son. My son had stones thrown at him yesterday in the school just because they know his name is Muhammad. His name identifies him in the school. So one of the little white boys threw stones at him. If I was there, I would have told that little white boy, I would have said, look, I raised Muhammad. I taught Muhammad, and he's most likely a better American than you are. That's what I would like to have told that little white boy. He comes home all uptight, nerves all shocked, because somebody throwing stones at him. So this is a dangerous time. Do you want someone throwing stones at your women? I don't. So brothers, tell your wife to not go out there dressed in the dress that they are looking for. Dress like them, so they can't tell. And if they speak to you, keep your cool. You can be in hyper thinking on Allah. Highly glorified is Allah. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. You be in here. When they speak to you, Allah, highly glorified is Allah, will have Kamanu. You will be respond to them, and not be aggravated, and you will give them a warm look, and say, I think you have mistaken me for somebody else. And they will leave you alone. Desperate situation they are living in cause terrorism. Believers have gotten hurt in several of the big cities, all the way to Los Angeles, from the East Coast to the West Coast, from our community, not mention those not from our community. In our community, sisters are assaulted on the streets by people who are enraged and angry, and they would like to take it out on someone that they think is of the same mind as those terrorists. They are saying, well, whatever they believe in is making them behave that way. We know that is not so. It is not the religion that is making them behave that way. It is the desperate situation they are living in, and maybe it is their test from God. Allah, highly glorified is Allah, is giving them a test. Can you be tested and still keep your Muslim behavior? So they are being tested too. When Muhammad the Prophet gave his Jummah khutbah, his last sermon, it was a Jummah khutbah. Did he say, oh, this is my last sermon, let me read the Quran, and do prayers, and glorify God? No, Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, said, let me address the problems of mankind, that what he did in his last sermon. He addressed the problems of mankind, the treatment of your brother, respect for his wife, and don't violate his rights. Don't violate his property. Don't violate his family. Don't mistreat the servant, the slave, the person who is down. Don't mistreat them. Treat them equally with the citizens or with your own sons. This is what he discussed with them. H discussed the problems of the world. And your women educate them. You men educate the two women, two females. You will get the paradise. He saw the concerns of that time, and they are the same concerns we have now really. They have not changed. We still have mistreatment of those who are weak financially, those who are not educated, and the mistreatment of females. We still have all of that, especially in the Islamic world. So the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, wouldn't have been going through this ritualistic, formal thing that most of you expect on Jummah. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, would be addressing the problems of mankind, the problems of the world. So why should we be any different? We should follow him, we should be like him. So we are addressing this serious problem today of terrorism. Al-Had 3P.410, number 579, Prophet's character, the Quran, Mishkat al-Mazahi 2P354, number 1257, Prophet's character, the Quran. Sa'd bin Hisham reported, I went to Aisha, and asked, O Mother of the Faithful, inform me about the conduct of the Prophet of Allah, peace and blessings be on him. She asked, do you not read the Quran? Yes, replied I. She said, the conduct of the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, is the Quran. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, was the reflection of God's word, Quran. His wife Aisha, may God be pleased with her, she said, he was the Quran living and walking among us. That's how close he lived it. He lived it so closely that wife saw him as the book, living among us and walking among us. So the word of God was lived by Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him. He lived the Quran. And we know, if you would ask anyone, even those who are driven mad by their circumstances in Palestine and other places, to lose their senses and do the horrible things that they have done in these last several days. I was in Washington, D.C., when the trouble started there, September 11th, 2001. Strange coincidence. I'm invited by the President of these United States to meet with him at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with a few top selected religious leaders, faith-based community leaders, to address problem of profiling. And we're thinking about the average criminal, lawbreaker, or the innocent person who gets arrested, and they take him just because he's black. They take him to be a criminal before he even has a day in court, mistreat him, etc. We were thinking about that. African Americans and others who get stopped just because they're suspect in the officer's eyes. They are suspect even before he catches them committing a crime. We thought we were just going to be dealing with a subject like that. No, it's profiling all right, but it's terrorists, and they are given a certain picture. And now here are the innocent who are suspected, because they have the same name, same religion, same dress style. They are suspected. Look how quickly it shifted from the profiling of the person that's in the street, the ordinary citizen, that gets mistreated to the profiling of all Muslims. All Muslims, not by police officers, but that's by fanatics or people who have been insane. And those who have been insane all along and waiting for a time like this to come out and do and say the things they have been wanting to do and say all the time. So we have to be very careful. If my father were here, he would tell you to stay in the house. If it's not absolutely necessary for you to be outside, he would say, sister, stay in the house. I am telling you that myself, right now. If it is not absolutely necessary, sisters, you all should stay in the house. And if you have to come out, dress, so they can't identify you. Now, if we catch you in some miniskirts looking like prostitutes, I'm going to authorize the brothers to whip you and go to jail for whipping you. Whip you right on street and go to jail for whipping you. Assalamu alaikum, praise be to Allah. Highly glorified is Allah. This is very serious time. Can't get your share of America until claim your share. I remember the first time when I knew you all had, if we are going to get to the promised land, I knew you were going to have to claim your share of America. You cannot get your share of America until you first claim your share of America. You don't have the spirit to get your share of America if you don't first claim your share of America. Then you'll have the spirit back in you. You will have the courage and strength inside you to help you get your share of America. Without that, you don't have the energy for it. You don't have the spirit for it. So I actually risked my life. I was raised, born in this community. I was born a follower or the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who was following his teaching, and my mother, Clara Muhammad, who was following his teachings. I was born to them, so I was born inside their teaching. You came in, most of you. You came from the outside. You had another mind. I never had another mind. I only had the mind they gave me as a baby boy, young man, and I knew what we were capable of doing because I knew what I was capable of doing. If I saw someone really wrecking what my father had established, or going against what we really believed in, and claiming they're one of us, I knew what I was capable of doing. But I knew it was time, and I thought that I had talked to you long enough to at least have the majority on my side for what I did. I think it was a night, I don't think it was a Sunday, I don't think. And I took the American flag, it was left there like they were in the time of my father, our national flag of the Nation of Islam, on one side of the rostrum, and the American flag, on the other side of the rostrum. I went and got the American flag, put it on my shoulder, and I said, if you won't carry this flag, I will. And believe me, I was under mortal fear when I did that. I didn't know. I never felt fear like I felt it when I did that because I knew that one brother or one sister could kick others off if they yelled out and said something. And I didn't know how strong the minds were. I knew some of your minds were not with us as it is now. Some of your minds were not with us. So I took a dangerous chance that you all would beat me to death inside the temple. Yes, I know the brothers were with me. They would be beating you to death too. There would have been blood right inside the temple. Blood would have been spilled, you know. But Allah, highly glorified is Allah, save us. Nobody even uttered the word, not so I could be read. And from there on we kept progressing to this point, where we are now. And we are home now. We are home as Muslims, and we are home as citizens of America. That's a big victory. I don't know how you all felt about it. That's a big victory. And, as I knew then, that's a victory not only for your heart, and your soul, and your mind, and the spirit. It's a victory also for your pocket. You can earn a better living now in the United States of America, because you have come to this position, where you are a strong Muslim. You're sincere about being your Muslim, that you are. You're living your Muslim's life, and you're sincere about being a good citizen of the United States of America. It doesn't mean that we're saying that the United States of America has become the Quran. No, we know it is not even the Bible. We depend for good Christians to live the Bible, and we depend upon good Muslims to live the Quran. We depend upon government to provide a place for us to practice our religion, and not have to fear some other group denying us our freedom to practice our religion. That's all we want from the government. We don't want the government to do five prayers a day. That's their business. Do whatever they want as long as they live up to the honorable responsibility that the citizens of the country has entrusted to them. And that is to have good government by the people, for the people, and to protect the right of all citizens. That's all we ask for. We don't ask them to propagate Talislam. We will propagate Al-Islam. We will do our best to propagate Al-Islam. We don't ask them to give the true picture of Muslims in Al-Islam. That's our obligation. And if we strive to do our part, to present our own life as it should be presented, we will win the respect of other religions and of the United States government as we have won their respect. President Bush met with religious leaders and both non-Muslim faith groups, Christian and Jews, along with President Bush pleaded to the American people to respect Muslims, respect the religion of Al-Islam and respect Muslims. So they are doing their part. They can't do much more than that. So we have to do our part. If you go by my house, you'll see the United States flag. Old glory. To me, it's new glory. Because a long time ago, it wasn't any glory for us. Because we were denied equal rights in this country. So it's new glory to me. The old glory is still bad. My memory still remembers old glory. It was bad. But this flag is still called the old glory. So old glory. In my mind, new glory is pasted on my front window by me. Go by there now, you'll see the American flag right in my front room window. The Sun Times newspaper asked the citizens to show the flag and provided each citizen that received the paper with a flag. So I took it out of the paper and pasted it on my front window. I like the headline so much I put the headline on my back door window. So on the back of the house is the headline. On the front window is the flag of the United States of America, which is my flag. And what it stands for, good people, I will die for right now, anytime. I will wake up in the middle of the night and die right anytime. I'll die for it. And anytime a people are not ready to die for what protects their life, something is wrong with you. You need educating better. You don't have a home anywhere else. You have a home right here in the United States of America. And here is where we have come from, being slaves in the South and slaves in the mind of the Northern people. And subhuman in the South under the treatment, and subhuman in the North, in the eyes of the people. Here we have come from that to being respected now and given equal opportunity to have life in America and progress in America with all the other groups. And no one can keep you out of that. You can go to the court and defend your right if someone tried to hold you back, and you will receive the support of the courts if you are standing on solid ground. If you are not lying, if you are not a hypocrite, if you are not someone who is doing something to undermine the system, your rights will be protected, and you'll be accorded your rights. I'm going to bring this khutbah to a conclusion pretty quickly, but you understand these things. Colin Powell is loved so much by American people of power that if he wanted to run for vice president or president, he could. And he's an African American, so for us African Americans, not just Muslims, for us African Americans, we should realize that we have paid a big price to be where we are today in this country. We have paid with life, with blood. We have paid with time and energy, labor, gotten much for it. We have paid with our hearts, without suffering souls. We have paid a big, big price. And now God has rewarded us through good people of different colors. He has rewarded us now, have given us the benefit of a beautiful political order, constitution, and so forth, that was designed for the best of people on this earth. Now He has brought us to be recognized as being qualified to enjoy this with the best of people of earth. You know what the white folks who have been watching the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and watching his son, and I would say Min Farrakhan, too, you know what they are thinking when they are looking at us? They are thinking that we are the people now that can partnership with them, and no matter what happens to this country, we are going to stand by it and make it better, but not leave it. That's what they're expecting. That's what they did. The country wasn't always beautiful, but the idea, the promise was beautiful, as Dr. King, he called it the promise. The promise was beautiful, but the country wasn't beautiful. Now that the country is beautiful, and you are awakened in your human nature of human excellence, you have awakened, and now you have impressed big white folks. You think I'd be invited to see Bush? I didn't vote for him. It's what I represent that caused them to invite me, not me. So we're living in a time when we have risen to great height and have big people, the most powerful people in the United States of America, looking at us as partners. Yes. We have angels. God have given us angels to work with us, to live with us on all this. This is too much for us to let somebody say they're Muslim touch our hearts. It's a waste. If I saw a crazy dog looking to run into the traffic, going against traffic, I'd feel sorry for that crazy dog. But I am not going to get hit by the traffic trying to help it. I'm not going to get out in the traffic and try to stop it from getting hit. I might get hit. And if I got it, I'd give it what they call a peaceful sleep. I put it to sleep very peacefully, because it can't do nothing but harm itself and others. Oh, you would kill those Muslims. That's only fighting, because they won't do this, and they won't do that. You have to, even if it's our own child. If it was my son Wallace, or my son Sad Rudin, or my daughter Nina, or Lila had done something like that, you know what I'm going to do? Get to them before anybody else, and put them out of their misery as easy as I could, yes. Your son or my son could have been killed in one of those places. They weren't looking for the guilty. They're just looking for people, American citizens, and targeting places where they would get to send a signal they wanted to send, a big signal. So they target certain places. You could have been there. In fact, I believe some, we're going to find out soon, some of the members of our community, I bet you have died in one of those explosions. I bet you we lost somebody from our own community, because our people are in the government now. Listen for us. You think about Colin Powell, the position he's in now. He's in the position to be Vice President or President of the United States. He's in the position to be President of the United States without the vote. If I remember the ruling, the law, the Secretary of State is in line for the presidency. So who knows what could happen? That's close, whether he never gets to be president or not. That's close. That's real close. And I know he can get support from the citizens of this country if he wants to run at some time in the future for vice president or the presidency of these United States. So we should see the value that we have now as a people, and the value we have in great figures like Colin Powell. And the white folks, all of them, they're going to hear what I'm saying too, all the white folks of this country and the world, really, because many of them in Europe that had a hand in our enslavement, and Arabs, whoever had a hand in it, they should look at us now. And those who have been responsible for the law in this country, they're gone. They're in their graves. They're dead. But if they can hear me, I want to tell them, don't you feel awfully bad now in hell, or wherever you are in your grave? Don't you feel awful bad with your civilization that you claimed, and your Christian life that you claimed, knowing that you held back many Colin Powells? You could have had Colin Powells 200 years ago. You could have had Colin Powells 100 years ago. You could have had great black people standing by you and making your government stronger and your civilization better if you had not written us off as subhuman. Holy Quran 5.8, let not hatred cause you to swerve from justice. O ye who believe, stand out firmly for Allah as witnesses to fair dealing, and let not the hatred of others do you make you swerve wrong and depart from justice. Be just, that is next to piety, and fear Allah, for Allah is well acquainted with all that ye do. Allah, highly glorified is Allah, says in this book that I have before me right now, that I'm going to be reading from, this Quran, this glorious and sacred book. Allah, highly glorified is Allah, most high, God, that is, says, do not let the hatred for a people you cause you to do wrong, and swerve from justice, or from what is just. Says, be just at any cost. It doesn't say at any cost, but that's the understanding. Be just, for it is the closest to Tawah, for it is the closest to the consciousness that God wants in the believer, and they call it piety in this translation. It is the closest to piety, or it is next to piety, it says. The language says it is next to piety, or closest to piety, Tawah, consciousness that God wants in the believers. And it also suggests that it is the strongest position you can take. It is the closest to righteousness and piety, and it is also a position that requires great strength. It takes great strength. Holy Quran 4.135, be just against self, rich, poor. O ye who believe, stand out firmly for justice as witnesses to Allah, even as against yourselves or your parents or your kin, and whether it be against rich or poor, for Allah can best protect both. Follow not the lust of your hearts, lest ye swerve, and if ye distort justice or decline to do justice, verily Allah is well acquainted with all that ye do. God says, be just, though it be against a near relative, or against a person big or small. Sometimes you can't help it. You got to defend the big shot that has been paying your bills, or gave your son a good job. You owe him something. So when he's before the court, you don't want to go in the court against him. Well, a Muslim can't do that, because God says, whether it's a big man or small, you're supposed to stand for justice. There's only one right, and when you put the right down, you're wrong. When you leave right, you're wrong. No other way. You're either right or wrong. Look at what they're doing now. Say, oh well, in this case, you know, God says if you're starving and you can't find any meat except pork, you can eat the pork in moderation until you can get some halal meat or something suitable to eat. Is that behavior moderation? Didn't say this is the time of desperation. This is a desperate time for the Palestinians and for the Muslims of the world who can't get justice. let's say it's a desperate time for them, is the behavior that we see in them, in New York, in Washington. Is this behavior now in moderation, where they're eating the pig, they're doing wrong, but they're doing it no more than enough just to survive, they're doing it in moderation. No, then there is not justification for ever killing, mistreating innocent persons, none. If we would ask ourselves, peaceful Muslims, or those who have resorted to terrorism, any of us, no matter how extreme we are, if we would ask ourselves, would Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, kill innocent children, women, men, elderly people just to get at the enemy? Would he do that? No, we know he wouldn't. The worst of us would say no, the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, wouldn't do that. So we are not allowed to do it, and we can't do what he wouldn't allow himself to do. I come to join you today in prayer. Imam Darnell Kareem told me that we are going to have prayer here today, so I come to join you in prayer, praying for peace, praying for the souls that have been murdered, and praying also for the victims who are suffering in hospitals and other places, and praying for peace for the Palestinians and the Israelis. Because we know that that's perhaps the situation that's contributing and motivating these people more than anything else to do what they're doing. Holy Quran 25.1. Blessed is he who sent down, blessed is he who sent down the criterion to his servant, that it may be an admonition to all creatures. I want to read now from the Quran, and I'll read in English to save time, because I want you to understand. Most of you won't understand Arabic. Blessed is he who sent down the criterion. The criterion means the rule, or the logic, that we must apply when we're trying to form judgments and make decisions, and it's the standard. Sent down the criterion to his servant, meaning Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him. Nadara means warner, but it was sent down to others before him. That's why it says his servant, not to him by name, but meaning him directly, Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him. That it may be an admonition, the warning, and the translation here says to all creatures. But what does it actually say? Lil al-Amin. This al-Amin means all the worlds, layakun lil al-Amin al-Hira. That it may be for all the world an admonition, or a warning, and you know the language Nahira means warners. That's one of the name of prophets, messengers, and prophet of God. They are called warners, and the word is Nadir. So we have to understand that Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, is not just to Muslims, and this is his day. Actually, Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, his leadership is leading the world today. All of this respect for public education did not exist in the mind of rulers before Al-Islam. It was Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, bringing public education and requiring that all citizens be educated. He's the one that led this movement for public education. Holy Quran 22.40, God check one people with another. They are those who have been expelled from their homes in defiance of right, for no cause, except that they say our Lord is Allah. Did not Allah check one set of people by means of another, there would surely have been pulled down monasteries, churches, synagogues, and mosques, in which the name of Allah is commemorated in abundant measure. Allah will certainly aid those who aid his cause, for verily Allah is full of strength, exalted in might, able to enforce his will. Muhammad, he's the one that led the movement for the freedom of religion. He freed Christianity, he freed Judaism, and he had the Muslims protect their sacred places, and also their sacred relics. The Muslims had to protect it with their lives, if those places were in Muslim lands or territory, under the protection of Muslim government. The Muslim had to protect churches and synagogues with their lives, if necessary. And you go overseas now to Muslim lands like Egypt and many other places, you'll find churches that's been there ever since the day of the Prophet. They were there then, they're still there. So we have to understand these things. Holy Quran 21.107, Prophet of mercy to all the worlds. We send thee not but as a mercy for all creatures. He's a warner to all the world, and he's a mercy to all the worlds. God says here he's an Adur, warner to all the worlds, and he also said Ramat and Lalalameen, he is a mercy to all the worlds. So Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, is not just for Muslims, he's for humanity. He's the last prophet from God, for all humanity. So who should have a beautiful constitution about human rights, and the dignity of the human person, and their rights to have their life, freedom, liberty, pursuit of happiness, etc., their right to have all that under God their Creator, who should have that in their constitution? The Muslim, because that language is more in accord with the Prophet's, peace and blessings be on him, leadership, than it is in accord with any other leadership. It's his leadership that came for that. Holy Quran 2.193, 5M, until religion is for God. and fight them on until there is no more tumult or oppression, and there prevail justice and faith. Then religion is for Allah, but if they cease, let there be no hostility except to those who practice oppression. Quran says fight them until there is no more persecution. The fanatics read that and they don't hear the whole language. They're looking for one thing, fight. All they hear is fight. Fight them until there is no more persecution. So who were they fighting? They were fighting those who were persecuting them because of their religion, say, and they have been treated like this for not the reason, can that you say you believe in God. That's what Allah, highly glorified is Allah, says of them in the Quran. So they were being mistreated and beaten and killed for no other reason, than they wanted to worship God in Al-Islam. So the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, was told to fight those people who were persecuting them until there is no more persecution, and look at the language that follows it. It makes it very clear what it is talking about. Holy Quran 4.78, good or harm only God gives. Wherever ye are, death will find you out, even if ye are in towers built up strong and high. If some good befalls them, they say this is from Allah, but if evil, they say this is from the O Prophet. Say, all things are from Allah. But what hath come to these people, that they fail to understand a single fact? I didn't read that for all of that, just for one part. They have not control, not only those who claim to be a god, but those who follow other ways. Those who even follow the way of the book, even Muslims, we have no control of hurt, harm, or good. It's Allah, highly glorified is Allah, who decides who will get good, who will get bad, who will be hurt, who will not be hurt. So don't say all those people lost their lives. God knows it, we regret it, but it couldn't happen without God permitting it. Those innocent lives could not have been taken without God permitting it. Speak out, Trade Center towers, don't be afraid. And those perpetrators, those terrorists, those insane persons who did the horrible things, they couldn't have done it without God's permission. They couldn't have died without God's permission. So what are we to do about this? Are we just going to stand still, afraid to speak? I'm not afraid to speak. Can't make comments. It's too serious. No, I'm not afraid to speak. We have to speak. Bombing is an awakening to come back to our better self. What's going to come out of this? This is an awakening for the great powers that be. It's an awakening for our beautiful and great country, an awakening to help us come back to our better self. This is a time coming now when we can lose a lot of our good quality as American people, but this great tragedy, where lives of innocent are sacrificed, given should not be in vain. I wouldn't want to think it's just been in vain. I would want to think that those people were unwilling martyrs. The innocent that have died, they are unwilling martyrs. Trade Center victims are martyrs. They are martyrs that weren't prepared for martyrdom, but nevertheless their death is going to affect this country and the world, like the death of saintly martyrs, because they were innocent. There might have been among them a drunk or a gambler, but he's no more a drunk or gambler. He's a person who was innocently killed, and his life is going to make America a better America. The life that was taken from him is going to make America a better America. It's going to make the world a better world. So they haven't died in vain. Their death is going to wake us up, going to wake up the people in power, going to wake up many for them to research and look back and say, could we have done these things better? Is there something that we could have done better here in America, in the Middle East? Is there something that we could have done better? I believe that if President Bill Clinton had been president, the desperate people wouldn't be as desperate, because he reached out to them. So we have a man who knows money, and he knows government, but he's not a minister. He wasn't ordained. President Clinton was an ordained minister, a Christian minister, so he knows God's word, and he knows how to feel for the people, and he knows how to take a risk for human talent, not just for material talent. I believe it wouldn't have happened this way. If Bill Clinton had been president, they wouldn't have gone to that extreme. Terrorist murders need lethal injection. So it's a wake-up call? Yes, it is. As the papers are saying, it's a wake-up call. Now don't think I'm soft on the terrorists. No, lethal injection is the quickest and easiest way, because they are not good for themselves, and no good for anybody else. Terrorist death, God not will respect for them. If God had willed that they be used, God has not willed that they be respected. God put a lot of things here to be used, but not respected. And if they had listened to the Quran, they wouldn't have gone to those extremes. If they had followed Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, they wouldn't have gone to those extremes. So they are really out of the circle, out of circle and framework of Al-Islam, with their conduct. So we're not talking about Muslims, we're talking about terrorists. Holy Quran 25.45-47, Shadow Lord prolongs. 45. Hast thou not turned by vision to thy Lord? How he doth prolong the shadow. If he will, he could make it stationary. 46. Then do we make the sun its guide, then we draw it in towards ourselves a contraction by easy stages. 47. And he it is who makes the night as a robe for you, and sleep as repose, and makes the day, as it were, a resurrection. 48. And he it is who sends the winds as heralds of glad tidings going before his mercy, and we send down purifying water from the sky. 49. That with it we may give life to a bedland, and slake the thirst of things we have created, cattle and men in great numbers. We are living in a great day. He it is who sends the winds as heralds, that means messengers, good news, heralds of glad tidings. The winds blow, and they're strong and violent, and they're going before his mercy is coming behind it. And we send down purifying water from the sky. Yes, and the waters are going to be pure now after the winds. That with it we may give life to a bedland, hearts dead, feelings dead. And slake the thirst of things we have created. Isn't this beautiful? Those who've been suffering the dryness and hardness of the world, they are thirsting, and God says he's going to slake the thirst. He's going to give them water to drink, take away the thirst. Prophet said don't destroy things people need after the war. Of things we have created, cattle and men in great numbers. God cares about cattle, not just people. Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, said see that you don't hurt trees, don't destroy those things that people have to depend on after the war. That's the leader we follow, peace and blessing be on him. Holy Quran 25.5050. And we have distributed the water amongst them in order that they may celebrate our praises, but most men are averse to aught but rank ingratitude. 51. Had it been our will, we could have sent a warner to every center of population. 52. Therefore listen not to the unbelievers, but strive against them with the utmost strenuousness with the Quran. 53. It is he who has let free the two bodies of flowing water, one palatable and sweet, and the other salt and bitter, yet has he made a barrier between them, a partition, that is forbidden to be passed. 60. When it is said to them, adore ye Allah, most gracious. They say, and what is Allah, most gracious? Shall we adore that which thou commandest us? And it increases their flight from the truth. 61. Blessed is he who made constellations in the skies, and placed therein a lamp, and the moon giving light. 62. And it is he who made the night and the day to follow each other, for such as have a will to celebrate his praises, or to show their gratitude. 63. And the servants of Allah, most gracious, are those who walk on the earth in humility, and when the ignorant address them, they say peace. But most men are averse to aught but rank ingratitude, mean they are not willed to go this way. All they want to do is follow the path of those who are not thankful and appreciative under God. Therefore listen not to the unbelievers, but strive against them with the utmost strenuousness with the Quran. And he has here with the Quran, because that's your best instrument in struggle, the word of God and Muhammad's, peace and blessings be on him, own example. It is he who has let free the two bodies of flowing water. One palatable and sweet means it is nice to the mouth, that sea water. If you put it in your mouth right away, your mouth is in a lot of trouble. And it increases their flight from the truth. They do nothing but get worse and worse. When you try to call them with the sweet language, they get worse and worse. This is a serious time when the ignorant address you, say with your face, with your looks, with your heart, with your feeling, I wish you nothing but peace. You got the wrong person. I'm not a terrorist. I'm a peaceful person trying to serve my God through my service to mankind. 64. Those who spend the night in adoration of their Lord prostrate and standing. 65. Those who say, our Lord, avert from us the wrath of hell, for its wrath is indeed an affliction grievous. Those who spend the night in adoration of their Lord prostrate and standing, these are Muslims. While others are asleep, they're standing up for the night prayer, standing up and going down, prostrating with their forehead and noses on the floor. Burning time for God fearing in this life. Our Lord, avert from us the wrath of hell, for its wrath is indeed an affliction grievous. Now this has two applications. When this world is finished, there will be hellfire for those who deserve it, and there will be the waters, the rivers, that run deep underneath, and the paradise in the garden for those who earned it. But it has another application. What is it talking about? This life. So what has happened has thrown Muslims into hell. We're in hell. This is a burning time for us, and for all true God-fearing people. This is a burning time for us. It's a burning time for the Palestinians, but we'll survive it. 66. Evil indeed is it, as an abode, and as a place to rest in. 67. Those who when they spend are not extravagant, and not niggardly, but hold a just balance between those extremes. 68. those who invoke not with Allah any other god, nor slay such life that Allah has made sacred except for just cause not commit fornication, and any that does this, not only, meets punishment. 69. But the penalty on the day of judgment will be doubled to him, and he will dwell therein in ignominy. 70. Unless he repents, believes, and works righteous deeds, for Allah will change the evil of such persons into good, and Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. 71. And whoever repents and does good has truly turned to Allah with an acceptable conversion. 72. Those who witness no falsehood, and if they pass by futility, they pass by it with honorable avoidance. 73. Those who, when they are admonished with the signs of their Lord, droop not down at them as if they were deaf or blind. Evil indeed is it, as an abode, and as a place to rest in. Who wants to live in these conditions? We want to see them pass quickly, can't rest in this condition. We can't rest now, there's no rest for us now until the thing becomes normal again. The situation has to become normal again for us to rest. Those who, when they spend, are not extravagant, and not niggardly, they don't waste money, and they are not so tight, just that they can't help worth causes, they spend, but not extravagantly. Not giving, and wasting, and not denying just causes, your support, your family members, your community, your obligation to your religion, etc. The penalty on the day of judgment will be doubled to him, and he will dwell therein in ignominy, and that's the worst punishment, when you don't have anybody looking at you, nobody saying, oh, that's the guy that took down the World Trade Center. No, Allah, highly glorified is Allah, is going to deal with you, and you aren't going to have nobody recognizing, no TV, not prime time, nobody seeing you, what your punishment will be. Nobody in court but you, not even an attorney, it will be you and God. And God won't even speak to you. God said, he will not speak to such, you'll just get punishment. Now isn't this a merciful God? Even those who go to that extreme, look what God says, unless he repents, believes, and works righteous deeds. Even person who goes to those extremes, having false gods with God, mistreating the righteous, committing fornication, etc., you go to those extremes, but God's mercy extends beyond his wrath. These are his words. His mercy extends beyond his wrath, goes further than his wrath. Says, unless he repents, believes, and works righteous deeds, for Allah, highly glorified is Allah, will change the evil of such persons into good. Now you know they're dead, they killed themselves, they killed the innocent to get at the ones they say are guilty, the United States government. To get at the United States government, they killed themselves and other innocent ones, so we know they have no chance on this side. The only chance they have is on the other side. Is life over for them? Is life over for the Klansmen that hung blacks on trees and set fires beneath them and burned their bodies while they were still alive? You think life was over for them when they died in their beds? No, life is not over for them. Punishment is not gone. They're going to be awakened in a new court. Those who haven't gone to those extremes still have a chance. Hear the word of Allah. Highly glorified is Allah. Heard the word of God and turn back before it's too late. I'm speaking to us and any who these words may reach. Hear these words and thoughts so your life can be saved, and the only way your life can be saved, you have to turn from your wrong or evil way. And you have to ask Allah, highly glorified is Allah, for forgiveness, repent, and then show that your repentance was sincere by following it up with good, righteous deeds. And if you'll do that, Allah, highly glorified is Allah, will change the evil of yourself into good, and Allah, highly glorified is Allah, is oft forgiving and most merciful. Those who witness no falsehood, this world is messed up because there are too many people seeing falsehood and will stand by falsehood, give falsehood their verbal support and also physical support, and if not that, they give it silent support, won't speak out against it. If they pass by futility, they pass by it with honorable nonsense, stupid stuff that's happening all the time and catching us. Too many of us are caught up in a life of silly living, silly thinking, silly behavior, fun all the time, never get serious. You have to come out of that. They keep their dignity, they keep their self-respect, and they avoid being influenced by it or giving into it. Droop not down at them as if they were deaf or blind, like some of you all do when I'm talking to you here at this Harvey Center. I'm talking to you, and you do this. You want to make me think you're sleeping. You can't sleep when I'm talking, buddy. You're pretending. 74. And those who pray our Lord, grant unto us wives and offspring, who will be the comfort of our eyes, and give us the grace to lead the righteous. Shouldn't we see this time here right now as being very critical for us, that we should be looking beyond our life expectancy, and we should be wondering how our children and grandchildren are going to fare in this world? And shouldn't we be praying to God to keep them in the good character, our wives and our children, so in the hereafter we will be given news of them that they were honorable to the last? that they kept their good character to the end, they died Muslims and believers. Give us the grace to lead the righteous anyone can lead bad people we want Allah. Highly glorified is Allah to bless us with leaders who can lead the righteous. We pray to Him that He will give us such leaders that will be able to lead the righteous. Lead the people into righteousness, lead sinners into righteousness, lead criminals out of criminal behavior into righteousness. Allahu Akbar. Second part of the KHUDBAH. With Allah's highly glorified is Allah, name, with God's name most beneficent, most gracious, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we pray praise and peace upon Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be on him, the most honorable and generous of mankind, the model for all who believe in God, and the last day being accountable to God as God says of him. We ask Allah, highly glorified is Allah, to give us in this life good, and in the next one, and save us from the fires of sin. We ask Allah, highly glorified is Allah, to not allow our hearts to deviate. These are trying times, and many of us have come a long way to embrace the truth of God and the truth of the family of mankind or the family of human beings on this earth. Let us not allow these ugly things that are happening and the forked tongues of those who claim to be Muslim leaders cause to take the wrong side and begin to think that we should maybe be seeing this terrorist act as sacrifice by innocent Muslims who desperately want the American people to be even-handed, or the government to be even-handed in the Middle East. That sounds beautiful, but that is terrible incorrect, and it is very poisonous. If you accept that, it will poison your soul, poison your spirit, it will poison your mind, and you will be set back away from the good character that you have been blessed to come into, and you will lose your soul and your future with God. D.
Assalamu alaikum. You have been listening to a technically engineered audio recording of the khutbah given by Imam Warithuddin Muhammad following the attacks on the United States of America in September of 2001. Many of these issues are very current even today. And this is the reason why on this broadcast, Booker T. Washington Speaks, sponsored by Imam Murad Muhammad and his organization, New Africa Excellence Enterprise, LLC, we decided that we would play this afternoon. And now we want to also share with you some other thoughts from Imam W.D. Muhammad. And the topic is Al-Islam or Blackism. Imam W.D. Muhammad taught us that Malcolm X came under the influence of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teaching. He was so close to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad called Malcolm X my son. Just like he called Imam W.D. Muhammad's brothers and Imam W.D. Muhammad my sons. Imam Muhammad said that his mother would call Malcolm my son, and there were other ministers that she would call son. When you show that you were 100% faithful to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and to the cause of the Nation of Islam as a people in the Nation of Islam, and Imam Muhammad's mother, Sister Clara Muhammad, saw that in you, then you became as close to her as a sister or a son or daughter, depending on your age. Imam Muhammad said, quote, I say for Malcolm X or Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz that he also was not moved by any awareness of any moral problem, but by a natural need and a natural urge that was supported by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's treatment of our curiosity. That treatment told him to follow his intelligence. And this speaks for most of those who have experienced a transition from what was then into what is now real or rational and true. Imam W.D. Muhammad says, and I quote, we did not dislike the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We had no jealousies or bitterness. We loved him. This is Imam W.D. Muhammad speaking about his father, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He said, the reason it took me so long to break with his Nation of Islam ideas was because I was trying hard to make those ideas agree with what was in the Quran. I was trying hard to make the Quran support those ideas. I thank God that my father's and mother's influence in me made me more interested in being right than holding on to something that has proven to be wrong. The spirit that I have pointed to, we all have in common the spirit of excellence and its potential that is moving us forward. That is moving us to try to separate ourselves from the things that are holding us back, things that are just wrong for us. It is a spirit moving us to prove and establish and defend those things that we felt God intended to be in us and those aspirations that God sanctioned according to the stirrings in our own souls. That spirit kept getting brighter and brighter while we were opening our souls to its appetite for what is intelligent. Since the death of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that spirit has been dimming because black consciousness has slipped and fell from itself, from its inherent aim, while experiencing the very disturbing and very perplexing time we call the 1960s and the 1970s. Black fell from its excellence-based spirituality. Our spirituality, our motivation, our aspirations were based in our God-given human excellence. We fell from that to something I am calling Blackism. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad put us on the path of Blackism, but he conditioned us to stay on the path of Islam when all attempts to establish Blackism failed. Blackism is also blind desperation of the spirit. Blackism has become that contender for the heavyweight crown, untrained for rules of decency and too hyped up to be sensible. Blackism now is too hyped to experience reflection, soul-searching, and too desperate to address moral demands on us. Hence, we have the internal war that we are now suffering, and the self-destruction that we are now suffering, and the violence that we are suffering at our own hands, and the crimes that we are suffering in our own black communities, and the suicide that we are suffering, and the social regression that is manifest now in our own communities. The social regression that I am referring to is a fall from caring about mama. We once cared about daddy and grandmother more than we care about them now. We once cared about a wife and children and sisters and brothers and cousins and nephews and nieces and aunts and uncles more than we care about them now. We once cared about the African-American neighbor more than we care about the African-American neighbor now. We once cared about our brothers who are a distance away more than we care about them now. So, we have suffered an alarming degree of social regression, not social progress. Blackism is now punch drunk because its advocates, and I do love every one of them, came in on some great counter-punching by the Nation of Islam leaders in the fight with the white world or the devil world. Those who came in and looked in on the battle were electrified and rushed out to do it their way. But they waited until the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had passed, and they waited until Malcolm had passed. Then they went out to do it their way, and now are caught up in a fixation to just counterpunch the white man. They have been in that fixation so long that they are seeing punches that the white man is not even throwing. We are punch drunk and will go out and throw punches in the air and not even be in the ring. They think the bell has rung and that the fight is on. They see an opponent and they think they are encountering a blow that has not been thrown in years. And these are words from Imam W. Dean Muhammad. And so we close our program at this time. We want to just share with you very quickly something that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad left us with. And this is in his book, Message to the Black Man in America. And this is the section entitled The Prayer Service, and the article entitled Confidence Gained Through Prayers. The following prayer shows the complete confidence the apostle and his followers have in Allah, and the great praise of Allah for his protection and blessings that they enjoy from him daily. This is the prayer. We begin by saying, I seek the protection of Allah, my Lord, from every fault, and turn to him. O Allah, thou art the author of peace, and from thee comes peace. Blessed art thou, O Lord of glory and honor. Nothing deserves to be served except Allah. He is one and has no associate. His is the kingdom, and for him is praise, and he has power over all things. O Allah, there is none who can withhold what thou grantest, and there is none who can give us what thou withholdest. And greatness does not benefit any possessor of greatness as against thee, unquote. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad ends this section by saying, let me and you who believe, learn and recite this prayer for the glory and honor and praise and thanks to Allah, who is blessing us, the lost found of our people, for guiding us on the right path, that we too may be successful as the prophets and their followers before us. We must remember that we cannot be proud over greatness, only Allah. For if Allah makes you great, you are great indeed, and if he brings you low, none can raise you up but he. Salvation has come to us from Allah. Let us rejoice in him and be thankful for him, to him, for visiting us and accepting us as his own. And then he goes on to say, to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. And whether you manifest what is in your minds or hide it, Allah will call you to account according to it. So he forgives whom he pleases, and he punishes whom he pleases. And Allah is the possessor of power over all things. And so we thank Brother Imam Murad Muhammad and New Africa Excellence Enterprise LLC for blessing us by sponsoring this weekly broadcast. Booker T. Washington speaks with Imam Marshal Musa Muslim Abui. So may Allah bless you. Now stay tuned for Imam Murad Muhammad. Thank you.